Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8 o'clock p.m. hour. Time for Words of Wisdom. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God on Wednesday. God has allowed us this time, the body of Christ, to come together and study his word so that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we will know who God is and we would know who he is for us and to us. It's a time when we set aside things and get committed to wanting to know the will of God. The only way to know God's will is to know his word. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we should all study to show ourselves approved workmen, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I want you to know tonight that studying the word of God is for you. Studying the word of God does not make God more God, but it helps you to be able to navigate through the issues of life here on earth, knowing that it's not so much the problems that we face, but who we go through them with. The word of God is for you. It's your strength. It's your peace. It's your joy. It holds you up in the midst of a storm. It's with you all the way, no matter what you're going through. You can call on the name of God, and he will see you through. And I'm grateful for this opportunity, and I thank God for each and every one of you that took time out of your busy schedules to come and sit down and let us explore the word of God together. I am thankful and I'm grateful. Our tonight lesson is coming from the book of Isaiah, the 46th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And earlier, for those who got the notice early enough, I pray you had enough time to read the entire chapter. And the title of the lesson is, God is in control. I want you to know that God is in control of all things. God is the creator, and he created all things, and everything belongs to God. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and everything that dwells therein belongs to God. Constantly working all things out together for our good. And he is in full control. And there's nothing that is taking him by surprise. There's nothing taking God by surprise. And at this time, I'm going to play a song that I know is appropriate. The title of the song is called Sovereign. God is a sovereign God. And I'm going to play this song and you could understand why it was appropriate for us tonight. And I want you to be prayerful for our Bible study tonight, that everyone that called in may have had a question, may be going through something, and they're looking for a rhema word from God, a fresh word from God that they could apply in their life and be strengthened. So I'm going to play the song, and then we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace. Our sister Pam is waiting to do what she has decided to do by being our intercessor for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God.
Thank you.
can do whatever he wants to do. He can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to. God can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to. By what he
And the title of that lesson, that song, I'm sorry, is Sovereign, Sovereignty of God. For those of you who may not know, sovereignty describes the attributes of God. God is omnipresent everywhere at the same time. God is omniscient. He knew, he knows and knew everything before and after the beginning of time. And God is also omnipotent. All power is in his hands. And I thought that song was appropriate for the lesson tonight, saying God is in control. And with the second part of that title, I was helping y'all to remember that nothing that is going on in the world today is taking God by surprise. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. And at this time, Sister Pam, I got your mic open and you could come to us whatever way God is leading you on this evening.
Good evening, everybody. I'm reading the prayer list for October the 4th, the first Wednesday in October of 2023. Juanita Stills, David Webb, Lawrence Gordon and family, Diane McBride and family, Roderick McGee, John McGee, Rogers Lacaze, Zabrin Williams, Angel Taylor, Linda Howard, Latasha Harlan, Barbara, Jada Porter, Sister Mary Jo Pope, Hades, Brother KJ, Minister Diane Adams and family, Maddie Bernardo, Katina Orlando, Jace Gina, Michael's son, Michael and Ashley, Sandra Oliver and sons, Minister Paula Cloud, Brother Corey, Gennaro Achilles, Nelson Johnson, Maddie Trotter, Glenn Butler, Karen Lewis, Yvonne Richardson, Pastor Willie Moten, Carla Williams, Brother and Sister Charles Harris, Sister Galatian Daniels, Sister Geraldine Jones, Sister Amita Taylor, Jalan Dawson, Saria Chung, Isaiah Mensa and family, Michael Lewis, Jarius McClendon, and Cameron Oliphant. First giving honor and glory to the Holy Trinity. Lord, we thank you tonight for the gift of life. Thanking you for our own sister in Christ, our teacher, a prayer warrior, Minister Diane Adams. Continue, Lord, to use her in ways that only you can. Thank you, Lord, for our Bible study. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless our Bible study and everybody that's listening in on tonight. Lord, we thank you for affording us this opportunity to come together on this first Wednesday in October to lift up our brothers and sisters on our prayer list. Lord, we place all of their needs and worries into your caring hands. Give them the comfort in knowing that you are still in control of all things, knowing that anything is possible through you, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, you promised that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So tonight, my brothers and sisters, I pray that you keep trusting, keep on believing, keep holding on, because in the end, we will win. Father God, I ask that you touch, heal, deliver, and set free. And it's in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, my sister. Thank you, as always. I pray that God blesses you for your faithfulness. On last week, one of our Bible study members, Mr. Melvin Mitchell, died, and we prayed. We were praying for him, and, you know, and last week we switched it from praying for him because it's all over. It's not over, but, you know, he's not here, and God has him in his hand. And we switched the prayers to the family in the hour of bereavement. So that's what we did on last week, but we got to carry the family forward. Is there anyone that, amen, anyone would like to put someone on a prayer list? You can press the one button on your phone and we'll add them to the list going forward. And remember, I ask each and every one of us to pray. If you can't remember the name, pray for the prayer list of the names that were called. We are all intercessors, and we should constantly be praying for one another. If anyone have a prayer request, you can press the one button on your phone. Thank you. So we're going to go on with the lesson tonight. As always, we do a little background. And tonight I just want to talk just a little while that we must realize that even in this ever-changing world we live in, God is in total control. And nothing that has happened or will ever happen taken by surprise. The thoughts of God for his creation and all that dwell therein, all of his thoughts are complete. God did have a master plan and begin his creation and is walking with us without a completed plan. Isaiah 14 and 24 say, the Lord of hosts has sworn. It says, surely as I thought, this is God talking in the Old Testament, y'all. He says, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, it shall stand. God was telling that to the prophet Isaiah, but it's a word for us today. God is telling us, I'll be with you until the end, never leave you, forsake you. And everything that you need, I have it. You see, everything that would be needed to accomplish God's will was in his thoughts. God had all of the world and creation in his thoughts bottled up into him. And then he spoke it into existence. And it shall come to pass that God said it. You could trust it and believe it. You see, God had a master plan before the foundation of the world, and he's working all things out on a daily basis for our good. God's unique purpose for his creation was to be our God and for us to be his people. That was God's intended plan. But he would supply our everything. You know, in the garden, they didn't work, they didn't plant, everything was there. He would supply our everything. And for that, we are to give him glory, honor, and praise by our obedience. See, God intended it to be that way. But sin entered in, and the rest became history. You see, God's purpose is his will, and his will is his word. You see, before the beginning and all the way through eternity, what God said, the scripture told us, it shall stand. And when we think about the records that I play, sovereign, the attributes of God, it lets us know that God does what he wants, when he wants, whenever he wants, for whoever he wants, because he's God. God is in complete control, and everything that happens is either caused by God or allowed by him for his purpose. You see, nothing is random or comes by chance, especially not in the lives of the believers. You see, when God spoke everything into existence, everything was formed, and he has you in mind. I'm talking about the plans that God had for you before the foundation of the world. You got to know that. That's a blessing assurance that God didn't make the world and the creation and people without having you in mind. You see, it's all about his grace, all things through Christ Jesus. God has things in store for you that you will never be able to comprehend or explain. Isaiah 64 and 4 says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, telling you, nor perceived by your ear, neither have the eyes seen, O God, besides thee, what God has prepared for him that waiteth on him. He's saying, you know, it might seem a little shaky right now, but continue to trust me and keep waiting, because help is always on the way. Don't crash before time. Don't panic before time. Don't get in God's way of trying to fix it. He said, you got to wait on me. You see, no matter what you are going through, wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You see, God did not bring you this far to leave you. And I'll come to tell you tonight, God is not through with you yet. You cannot imagine the abundance of life in store for you. There's somewhere in the Bible that says, God said he promised to make your ladder greater than your beginning. You got to wait. Our time is not God's time, and so don't get it twisted. Our job is to wait on God. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says the same thing, just a little bit different. It says, but as it is written, eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And if you love him, this includes you. If you're truly loving with your whole heart, this includes you. And that's a little background. And I'm going into the lesson. And I posted two scriptures talking about the total control of God and God being over everything. And I had to go back to the beginning of the chapter. I asked you guys to read the whole chapter, and I do the same thing myself. Okay, when you go to church on Sunday, they're giving a word of encouragement. Bible study, Sunday school is where you're supposed to be taught. But whenever somebody, just like me tonight, is doing this, it's only an hour, usually an hour. You can't get it all. If you went to the beginning of the chapter, and I'm going to say the two verses that we've gone through, you're going to see why it was necessary to go from the beginning to get to the full meaning of the end. You see, the 46th chapter of Isaiah, God is speaking to the Israelites about idolatry, the worship of idols. And God is telling them, and he told Isaiah this information. Isaiah put it in a book in the Bible. So I accept it as a word for us tonight. God hates idolatry. I want you to know that idolatry is anything people place a thing that you put before God. In the Old Testament, they made images of gold and silver and wood and stone, and they would worship these gods. See, God was the God for the Israelites. And there were a bunch of nations in the world, and they had their own gods. And the Israelites began to take on the habits and the function of the other people and start worshiping idol gods. You know, the word of God say God is a jealous God. Hey, God is not going to share his glory with nobody. And he's telling them, be careful in that chapter, you know, about the art of God. You see, God is very, 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 very sensitive to his children and his people worshiping idol gods to be things, people, or places. Because in the first two of the Ten Commandments, God said, thou shall have no other God before me. And for those who don't know, when you be reading the Bible, if you see the word God, and it's a big G, it's talking about the God that we serve, the only true and living God. And whenever you see the word God, G-O-D, or G-O-D-S, it's talking about idol gods. Remember, the capitalization for some words as you study is important. So, thou shall not have no other God before me. You know, even today, there are religions that bow down before statues and icons, a practice forbidden by God's word. And I said it was two, the first two commandments. That was the first one. Thou shalt have no gods before me, and thou shalt not make yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth, beneath the waters and below. God does not like people placing anything before him. That's how I know it was a word for us tonight as well, even though Isaiah was giving it to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. God hates idolatry. And I want you to know, you know, some people might say, well, I don't worship no idol gods. I don't bow down to Buddha. I don't worship the God of the sun, the moon, or the stars, and I don't worship the God of the tree as a god. But idolatry extends beyond the worship of idols and images and false gods. You see, our modern-day idols are many, and they vary. Even for those who do not bow to physical statues, idolatry is a matter of the heart. Pride, self-centeredness, greed, gluttony, a love for possession. Y'all know that we live in a commercialistic world. The world teaches us the more we have, the better we are. Come on, y'all. If we don't have this or that, we have no value. Materialistic things, and we know it's only temporal, but the love for possessions and ultimately rebelling against God is a form of idolatry. And it's no wonder God hates it. I told you earlier, God is a jealous God. You know, in a relationship, a husband have a wife. And a husband, you know, many times your partner is jealous because they believe that you belong to them. And God believes we all belong to him if we accepted his son as our savior. And yet we bowing down to people, places, or things. They have some people in a relationship or put their wife before God. They have some mothers or put their children before God. People. And then, of course, materialistic things, the brand new car, the kind of house you got to have. And they worship it. Now, it's all right to have nice things. It's all right to truly love your husband or love your children with your whole heart. But God comes first. So I gave you that because that's what the scripture, the chapter was speaking about. And in that same chapter, God told them what they were doing with their idols, how they was making them and fashioning them. And he talked about, you know, when the going got tough, your idols couldn't help you. When they came and took you into captivity, they took your idols too on the back of horses. So God told them all that. And then God began to tell them who he is. God always wants us to have evidence of who he is and what he's doing in our lives. You can't trust nobody that you don't know anything about. God used the Bible to give us evidence of how he worked with his people. When we get to this verse here, verse 9, God is telling them, remember. So if we look at verse 9 in chapter 46, after God told them about the idols and He brought to their memory how good he had been to them, and he was trying to show them that he's in control. He's always been in control and always will be in control. So in verse 6, he said, remember the former things of old. God said, think back. You know how many times we say we think back and look back over our lives and think things over? We can all truly say how good we've been blessed. We remember the highs and the lows in our lives. So God is telling the Israelites after they was worshiping these idol gods, he said, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. God saying, look, get it right. Don't get it twisted. That idol can't do nothing for you. That idol can't talk. It can't walk. It can't deliver. It can't heal. He said, get your mind right. And in verse 10, he's saying, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, this is God speaking, y'all. You know, I got to remember this. In the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people, and he used his prophets to give a message to the people because they couldn't go to God for themselves because of sin. And now we can go to God for ourselves because Jesus has taken our sins. But you got to have all of this and get a foundation when you're studying the word of God. And he said, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my good pleasure. God said, I started from the end. I know the end. God knows every step of the way through eternity. God know when the seed was planted in your mother's womb by your father. And God said in Psalms 139, he took his hand and put it inside your mother's womb, and he knitted your innermost parts together. Come on, y'all. God say, I know the numbers on your head. I know your days on this earth. I know the number of days you have. Come on, y'all. What a mighty God we serve. You see, when he told them to remember the things of old, he's saying, look back a little bit. Just look back a little bit with me. You know, sometimes, and plenty of times, our rebellious children might have the audacity to tell us that we ain't do nothing wrong. Come on now. That we could have been better, and we should have, and we could have, and we didn't, and this and that. God is telling the Israelites right now, remember the things of old. He was telling them, remember and look back how I parted the Red Sea, how I delivered Daniel from the lions, how Joseph was placed in favor, and I took him out, and he became second in command in the land. He said, don't forget, I allowed, I didn't orchestrate it. See, that's what you got to understand about those two things. See, Satan asked God to tempt one of his children, and God told him to use Job. See, God didn't orchestrate the temptation of Job, but he did allow it. Listen up. He did allow it. But you see, even in God allowing Job to be tested, when Job passed the test, Satan had to flee, and God restored and gave Joseph double for his trouble. He said, remember when? You see, God began with the end of mind. That's what the scriptures say. When God said in Genesis 1:1, let there be, everything was established. Everything. You, me, today, next week, 2030, 2039, everything was established and will come to pass in its own time, in its own season. God has prepared a time and a place for his good pleasure, for everything under the sun. You got to trust him. Wait on him. You see, as the scriptures say, he declared the end from the beginning. God used prophets to tell us, to tell the people then. And there's some prophecies that haven't been fulfilled for us that we haven't seen now. And that's why he said, he gave the prophets in the Old Testament you know, messages and dreams and visions of what to look for as his plan unfolds. You know, we could go to the book of Revelation and read what is to come. God is giving us that information because he don't want to leave his people in the dark. And because he gave this to Isaiah for them and for us today, God is reminding us that he is in control. And all of the things that are happening in, through, and around us, none of it, y'all, is taking God by surprise. So you never have to feel like the Lone Ranger. Why me? Why this? Why this? I can't believe God allowed this. You know, nothing's taking him by surprise. See, once we understand and comprehend and as an undeniable fact, we can begin to rest. See, there's no rest because people don't trust. They're not waiting on God. They want it to be right now. They want their emergency to become God urgency. They want a microwave fix because we live in a microwave time. They want everything done so quick. But we must begin to rest, trust, believe, and obey what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do for his people. The scripture says it will come to pass. You see, God is the creator of everything, and nothing was created without him. God promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he won't leave us in the dark. See, he went to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29 and 11. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God has an expected end for all of us. And that's where our success is. You know, we should be trying to find the program of God that he has designed for our lives. God made all of us different, uniquely, wonderfully, beautifully made. And we have a purpose, intended purpose, and expected end. He said, and after he said that, let us know that he has expected and prepared for us. He said, "Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." He said, what you have to do is pray to me. You first have to believe that he has an expected end for you and ask him through the power of his Holy Spirit reveals it to you. Hallelujah. And 13 say, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with your whole heart." He said, you want to know the things of God, search me, and I'll be found. Knock, the door shall be open. Come on, y'all. God is not trying to hide from you. He's not trying to hold back any blessings from you. He's not doing any of these things. God is doing his part, and we have to do ours. This should bring us great comfort and help to alleviate the fears that we may have in these trying times. We must learn how to wait on God because our thoughts are nothing like God's thoughts. God say that, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Because of this, we should just praise him, trust him, and wait. Praise him, trust him, and wait. See, Psalms 139 says, this is what David said once he realized it. He said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows well." We get to that point, y'all, as we begin to trust and have faith in God more and more. We are strengthened in the things of God. We are strengthened in our knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And we're not shaken like a scared person all the time by every word we hear, every new development we hear. We hear so much, and many times we are getting numb because it's just so much to obtain. And some things stick with us more, and we're so sorrowful for the situation maybe not done to us, but to other people. You see, the concept of total control of God over everything is called the sovereignty. Nothing gives us strength and confidence like understanding the sovereignty of God. See, when you understand that God is in control and he's going to have his way, he's going to have his way. That's his complete control, independent control over every creature, circumstance, at every moment in history. He is not subject to none, influenced by none, and absolutely independent. If God be for you, who can be against you? Because we all know in the end we win. And he's telling us in so many words, whatever you need, darling, I got it. You see, God had a master plan for his creation. I told you you would include it in it. And everything for that plan to be accomplished in and through our lives, in and through his creation, in and through the world, he provided in that plan all the provision that would be needed in and through our lives for our success and his glory. See, God made the plan. He provided everything needed for you to accomplish his goal. He gave you every reason and evidence to give him glory, honor, and praise. God didn't leave anything out, y'all. You must believe it to achieve it. God is not finding out what's going to happen as events unfold. He is constantly, actively running things. Not some things, y'all, but all things, even here and now. Don't think he needs your cooperation, your help. Come on, y'all. Or the existence of your free will to bring his plan into pass. It would put us in control over him, which would make us God. Come on, y'all. You got to trust him. You see, this is what happened to Eve in the garden. God told her she would be like God. We have to stop trying to be God. Many of us go around, we can't say nobody, number one. He says, shed a word of God and keep it moving. We can't fix every situation. We can't stop the appointed time of death for our loved ones, friends, or associates. See, we have no control with none of that. We have to trust God with our whole heart and wait on him, because help is always on the way. Our wills are only free to the extent that God allows us that freedom and not no further. No one free will trumps the sovereignty of God. You got to remember that. Yes, we are free moral agents, and we get to pick and choose what we'll do and what we don't. God don't make anybody be saved. They have to do that with their own free will. He don't make people do this or do that, but he can set it up with the truth that can help you to decide. Come on, y'all. God has established a wonderful plan for his people, and in his plan, which is spelled out in his word and states what he will do, what he has done, and what he's willing to do for his people. It also states that what is expected of us. We have to study to know all of the promises and provisions that are there. So many people don't even know what God's got in store for them. So many people don't even realize how God loves them. They don't understand the power that they have that God has given unto them. You have to study in order to grow. We have Christians that been in a church for 50 years and they go to church and they go to Bible study, which is only a piece of the puzzle, and they don't go no further extent than that. And there are some that the Bible say will be ever learning but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. You have to seek, search, and find. Seek, search, and find. Because God said he will not hide himself from you, and he'll give you all of it that you could comprehend and place yourself in position to receive. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Trust God allows you rest. He will never leave or forsake you. And you got to stop trying to make God fit into your plans. Oh, I'll go to church if I got enough time. Oh, I'll read, but I got to do this and I got to do that. You're doing it. You're treating God the way you want to treat him. You include him in your agenda when he fit your agenda, when he has already given us an agenda. And it's the word of God. We have to stop trying to make God fit into our plan. God have a plan that is perfect and complete. And he is willing, which means he desire, and is able, which means to accomplish it. That's why Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we act or think according to the power that worketh in us. It's not our will, but it's the will of God. Get with God's program, y'all. And God will see you through. God knows everything, y'all. And like I told you, when he asked him to remember the things of old, I'm going to bring you some current things and let you know God is saying remember. And even these things that's going to be mentioned, he said, I got that. You see, God knows in Louisiana that the salt water is mixing with the fresh water, making it unusable. God knows that your finances are not where you would want them to be. God knows that you have sickness, disease, ailments in your body. God knows. He knows that the loved ones that you love dearly has died, and you're in a stage of grief. God knows that, y'all. He knows your children are not acting the way you wish they would. And I come to tell you tonight that he knows every homeless person sleeping under the bridge, using the concrete as a pillar. I want to let you know tonight, God knows each and every one of them by name. He knows about the wars going on, the fires that is breaking out, the earthquakes that are forming. He knows there's famine in the land and flooding across the world. He knows many are in the state of depression, and there's a lot of oppression of his people, because nothing is taking him by surprise. You need to know that. God got it. Not your timing, his timing. Not your will, his will. Not your way, but his way. Do you believe it? And if you do, I encourage you tonight to enter into rest. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. And when this word tempted is in here, it can also mean tested. So if you read it another way, they have no testing. You know, God let us go through tests many times to mature us, many times to see what we're working for. And without no test, how would you be able to increase your faith? He said, but they won't be tempted above what you are able to bear. Remember that. The only way to trust God and God's sovereign control, and resteth to know God. Learn his attributes, know what he has done in the past, see what he's doing right now, and trust him for your future. We can't trust anyone we don't know. And there's only one way to know God, and that's through his word, which is his will. There is no magic formula, sisters and brothers, to make us spiritual giants overnight. God is working on all of us. We're under construction. God is not through with any of us yet. We won't be through until Jesus come back. There's no mystical prayer to pray to mature us, build our faith, and make us power of strength and give us confidence. Only the Bible, the single source of power that will change our lives from inside out. Do you believe it today? But it takes effort and everyday diligence to know God, who he truly is, and that he is in total control of everything. We got to let God have his way. If we allow his word to fill our mind and heart, the sovereignty of God will become clear to us, and we will rejoice no matter the issues of life, because we will know wholeheartedly and trust completely that God, who controls all things he created for his perfect purpose, have us in mind. That's our lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns, you can press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic. You may have something to add to this. I never profess to be the smartest person. I know I don't know it all. As these words was going forward, it may have brought something to your memory, and you may want to share it. And what you have to say, someone on the line may, it may connect the dots for them better than what has gone forward. And I welcome your comments, questions, or concerns. So anyone who have anything to say, you can press the one button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. Caller, your number is 225-302. Your mic is open.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, my daughter.
Hey, Mom. I just want to add to that. It's one thing for us to know him. It's another thing for us to trust him, but we have to recognize him in all things and trust him in all things. We can't vacillate. We can't have him to do, okay, Lord, I got this. I don't need you right here. But, oh, yeah, Lord, I need you over here. Oh, Lord, I got this. No, I don't need you at all over here. You can go help somebody else. You know, we can't choose when we want to trust him because he has it already mapped out. He has it already planned for us. And if we continue to say, oh, well, you know, I got this part, but then when it gets messed up, Lord, can you fix this? You know, and he's true to his word. He'll fix it. But what I think about as it relates to me is how much easier walking that path or walking in this journey or this life would be if I just put him in the midst of literally everything, which way I should turn when I leave out of the driveway. Should I go right? Should I go left? Should I go to this door, that door, the other? Just to have him in the midst of everything, because in everything he has dominion and he has reign and domain over it all. So I think if we stop vacillating as people and choosing when to have him in our lives and dictating everything for us, that we would be in a better position to bring him honor and glory and for our walks and our lives to be made easier.
Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my little girl. And as she was speaking, the Holy Ghost was just giving me different scriptures, because, you know, in Philippians 4 and 6, it said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication Everything by prayer and supplication. Everything. Nothing's too little, nothing's too big. God, what color dress I need to put on today? Because you might be going for a job, and the person that you're going to the job for love blue. You happen to have a blue dress on. You got points, brownie points already. All things through prayer and supplication. And that's what you were saying, and it's so true. And the other thing you said was that we sometimes, you know, get in the way and mess it up. But the Bible says in Matthew 6 and 33 that we should seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Seek God first and the kingdom and all of his righteousness, and things will be added to us. And as you stated in the end, that our way would be easier.
Yeah, and if we just think about like Revelation 3, 14 and 22, when God talks about knocking at the door, you know, we choose when we let him in. Like we might open the door a little bit. Oh, not now, God, the house is a mess. You know, I don't want you to come up in here now. Oh, not now, God, I got my friends over here, and we, you know, we doing this, that, and the other. Oh, not now, God, I know you're knocking, and, you know, I know I'm going to let you in at some point, but it's letting him in for everything because he's patient and he's kind. He's not going to just, you know, bulldoze his way in. He wants us to open the door and to invite him in. You know, and the door is our hearts, and to just be ever present in our hearts. And for me, I just think about the peace that that brings for me, to know that he's there and he's just, he's giving me that peace, he's giving me that calm, but I still have to make sure he's there. It's my job to invite him in, and that's all I have to do. I don't have to do anything else because he's got the rest of it all, in control. So.
Amen, amen, amen. And y'all have to remember, this is our Bible study. This is not Diane Bible study. God has given us this forum where we can talk and share with one another. God established that. Not me. I ain't even that smart. But God has given us this, and we should take advantage of everything that he has given us. And I thank you, Sister Jada Porter, my daughter. And I love you so much.
I love you too.
All right, we have another caller, 504-237. Your mic is open.
Miss Diane, this is Sandra. How is you doing? This was a wonderful, wonderful lesson today. It got me thinking really, really hard about a lot of things you just said, and it's so true. We do everything and make excuses to keep doing the right thing for God. And I know that is so true. I appreciate you, Miss Diane, and I thank you. And your daughter, she opened up some more doors for me, and just to let me know there is a God, and I need to trust him at all times, not sometime, all time. And I thank you, Miss Diane, and love you.
Thank you, Sister Sandra Bridges. I'm so glad you had time to come on the line tonight. And I'm so grateful. You know, before I get on the line, I pray to God and ask the Holy Spirit to endow in me a word, because he know the people who's going to come. He know what the people is looking for. And, of course, if you're not looking for nothing, it doesn't matter. But some people is looking for a rhema word, and sometimes the Holy Ghost will change your words around to fit them. And when someone call and say, you know, it helped them, or it was something they needed, or they got confirmation, you just give God, I give God and the Holy Ghost the glory, because I know it did reach someone. So I thank you so much for your comment.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister Sandra Bridges. Another caller, your number is 504-908. Your mic is open. Good morning.
I mean, good evening, Sister Diane. I'm so glad I got on this. I was looking at the court where you're talking about putting things before God. Oh, and that's what I've been doing. I'm in a second line club, and I can give the club $200 and $300 to parade, maybe more. But I'm not tithing like I'm supposed to. And I know what I'm doing.
is putting this parade before God. But before I came on this line, I was listening to another
sermon about tithing.
And God put on my heart to tithe something, and I went on and did it. And I felt so good. I didn't think about, oh, Lord, I got to pay my life bill. It's going to take from this bill. It's going to take from that bill. But if I can pay that much money to another, to something I put before God, how can I be happy with myself? So I've learned tonight that you can't put nothing before God. Money, time, nothing. Everything God comes first. And once you do it for God, it's going to work out for you. Yeah, I have a high light bill. But I gave my money to my 10% that God told me to do. And I'm going to trust that I know he going to make a way. But I just thank you, Sister Diane, because this is confirmation for me. And I love you. I love your Bible study because you make it so plain that you can't help but understand what God is telling you to tell us. And I thank you, Sister Diane.
I thank you so much, Sister Rosemary Coleman, my sister in Christ for a long time. And I love you. And, you know, we get caught up like that. That's why the Word of God is a reminder for us. And when you say it, you went on and paid the 10%, even though you thought you may have needed it. Our responsibility is to do what God asks and let him take care of the rest. So
amen.
You be blessed. And God don't mind us doing things that we enjoy. Don't get it twisted. But it's what we give up or what we put in front of him to enjoy that, enjoyed it more than him. It becomes the problem.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? You
yes,
know, if you
I
have
do.
Enough to do it all, if you have enough money to give them, da-da-da-da, God, I mean, it's not the biggest thing in the world to God. But when you do that over him, then God, you know, is a jealous God. But I thank you, Sister Rosemary, for your comments, and I love you dearly. I always
love
have,
you.
And I will always will.
And I love you too, Sister Diane.
Thank you so much for your comments. Anybody else? Any other comments? If not, at this time, looks like Sister Pam is off the line. Sister Pam?
I'm still here.
All right. Your number had switched in a different position. Plus, I know what it was. I put your mic on when we came. I didn't
this
wait for you to put that
one.
Away.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see a one to realize it was you, but I kind of knew your number. So that's
okay.
Why I opened the mic again for you. But I really enjoyed tonight. And I thank
you
each and every one of you. And I pray that God bless all of us real good. And Sister Pam is going to lead us out with the benediction.
Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. For growth in the goodwill and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory belongs to him now and for that eternal day. Amen.
Amen, amen. That's our Bible study for tonight. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back on next Wednesday, same time, same number. But until then, I pray for each and every one of you that God blesses you real good. Good night.
Good night.